All right, next on the agenda is Truman Boyce. Is he around? Excellent. We're all about multi-topology routing.
So a bit of a different focus. This is actually around routing protocols. I'm going to talk about traffic engineering. Multi-topology routing, the way it's been pitched so far is it's kind of been described as kind of like a poor man's traffic engineering. I'm going to try to dispel a bit of that myth and talk about how you can introduce it into networks where you already have MPLS. So it's not a competitor to MPLS. It actually will work absolutely in networks that are pure IP as well as networks that already have MPLS. So you can kind of use it in hybrid topologies. The kind of choices you have today when you're looking to shift traffic around your network is you already have the ability to do IGP metric costing. In situations where you have a full RSVP TE mesh, it's pretty easy to define explicit routing objects and shift traffic onto the specific paths in your network that make the most sense. In this case, you know, being low latency traffic, you know, low latency links, shifting particular types of traffic that's best geared for that type of link. We've always had the ability to do polity-based routing. With slightly more advanced traffic engineering cases, sometimes you'll have offline traffic engineering where you're extracting information about your network, using those metrics offline, calculating the paths, and then making changes to your network. Additionally, you also have the ability to do class-based forwarding where you possibly have different LSPs for specific types of traffic, and then you just define forwarding policies that would affect or basically take certain types of traffic and direct it onto specific LSPs. This is a little bit different. There's been a bit of confusion on how MTR has been marketed. It's been shown as when you don't want to actually go the whole way and have MPLS in your network, that you could actually go with the MTR approach. Actually, it works absolutely fine as a way to have multiple routing information bases, multiple forwarding information bases, but it's not a replacement for 2547 or like, you know, RFC 4364 IPVPN. It's not designed for that type of topology. It's designed for mechanisms where you wish to modify the forwarding across your links in your network. Before we go into some of the details, I just want to throw a couple ideas on how you might actually want to use it. Let's say you already have an MPLS network today. You don't want to put your IPv4 or IPv6 internet traffic into a VRF. So you don't want the internet traffic to traverse particular links in your network. How do you do that? This is one of the mechanisms on how you can achieve this. Today you might have IPv6 video. You have IPv4 and IPv6 routes in your default topology. You're using ISIS internally. You're populating the respective RIBs and the corresponding FIBs, and you then wish to create some diversity within your network. You want to have particular links carry your IPv6 video traffic and data traffic to use all of your topology. This is one mechanism where you might want to use MTR. If you're doing wholesaling of your traffic and you wish to have specific prefixes or interfaces mapped onto specific topologies. In some cases, when there's kind of a high-level administrative policy, it says particular links or technologies like maybe ATM, Zonnet, you don't want to have that particular wholesale traffic traverse those links, and you want Ethernet to be used for all of the wholesaling. Based on some administrative policy, you can also achieve that with MTR. Additionally, you can also put the traffic into different RIBs and FIBs as well as into different forwarding classes. So you still have all the capabilities of all of your QoS design. This is more just a mechanism to shift traffic on your network to the links that you wish to put it onto. this actually came up as one of the main drivers from a large carrier in Japan. One of the things they were concerned about was they already have VPN customers, and they're putting most of their expedited forwarding traffic into MPLS LSPs. But they were concerned about, on the core of their network where they had LDP tunneling through RSVPTE, they were looking at like three-label stack in MPLS. So it's not a lot of overhead, but it still is overhead. So you're talking, 4 bytes per MPLS label, and if you're talking like lots of voice traffic where you have, small bytes for each packet, they actually wanted to have all of their best effort traffic traverse non-MPLS topologies. How do you achieve that? So this is one of the things to consider is that, I think most or a lot of router vendors, Junos performs in this way, is that if you have LSPs, you'll prefer the LSPs over a standard IP next hop. So there are some mechanisms on how you can actually shift specific classes of traffic onto just using IP next hops instead of using the MPLS LDP labels or using the RSVPTE signal paths. Other mechanisms are where you have non-congruent inter-domain topologies. So for example, if your autonomous system may want to receive VoIP traffic on a given prefix on one link due to latency, and you want to receive your data traffic on a different link, you can't entirely do that with BGP policy. So what you're looking to achieve here is actually using kind of like a filter-based forwarding type of topology where you can take that traffic and put it into a specific routing context. So a little bit of what MTR actually looks like. On the router, it's implemented in, you always have your default topology. So this is basically, in Junos, it's your INET 0. This is, all of your routes are in this table. So that's your RIB, right? So then you also have a corresponding forwarding information base within that context. Fine, this is just basic IP routing. You then can create a separate topology which can have some number of interfaces or some number of links, and then you can map prefixes to that topology. In this case, we're looking at a voice topology, a video topology, and a business topology. And each one of these topologies would also, their routes for the respective topologies would be populated into the default topology. So all the routes will always make it to the default topology. This is what I mean by this is not like 2547 VPNs. This is just another way of abstracting your routes. Okay, so you got routes. You put them into the respective routing information base. That's populated your forwarding base. How do you get the traffic, an actual packet, how do you put that into the respective context? A couple ways to do it. You're basically creating forwarding policy, and you're grabbing packets off the interfaces with firewall filters. Those filters can match based upon behavior aggregates. So if you classify traffic today based on, .1P markings, or you're classifying based on DSCP, TOS, or if you want to get very granular and want to match based upon any 5-tuple, that's fine as well. So if you wanted to say, okay, you could even say, here's some denial of service traffic, if you could identify it, if there was a way to describe it, and you could say, I'm putting it to this other topology with a firewall filter, and then that topology could be of a limited subset of interfaces throughout your core. So the routing protocols that are explicitly capable for multi-topology routing today are OSPF, BGP. There's some support for ISIS, and you can always do this with static routes as well. Is it a standard? It's not quite a standard. There are standards, but as a general concept of multi-topology routing, it is not a standard. There is OSPF MT, which effectively allows you to advertise. It's a modification to most of the LSAs. With OSPF, you're basically adding or reclaiming the TOS field in OSPF to call it the MTID, which is your ID field, and it's a specific number of bits that are used, so you can have an ID of 32 to 127. The BGP multi-topology routing is actually pretty interesting because it's implemented different ways on different vendors. So the way Junos does it right now is with community-based values. So you're basically just using either standard BGP communities or BGP extended communities, and you're mapping that to a topology ID. So the community is totally arbitrary. Community is just like when you're doing VPNs. Each one of the routes is then installed. So when you learn a route from, it's tagged with a specific community which maps to a specific topology, you're then going to import that route into the topology rib. Okay? So the benefit of this is that we didn't have to create a new SAPI. So you've done your route reflectors. You don't have to create like a new BGP. You don't have to bring your BGP peering session down and then start to add this new address family throughout your network. Just a community. Pretty easy to deal with. The iOS version is also very scalable. It's a little bit different, though. It is basically a BGP session per topology. So from a memory perspective, I think it makes, it's definitely less memory to do a single BGP session with a single rib, where you have, just using communities for the placement of those routes. But from a simplicity point of view, the iOS version is also quite scalable because it has the ability to just build a peering session for the topologies that you care about, that you're about to announce routes for. ISIS MT, it's just a brand new TLD. So if you can basically support this, if you have ISIS in your network, turning on multi-topology is pretty straightforward. Currently, there's reserved multi-topology IDs for specific types of like IPv4 unicast, IPv4 multicast, V6 uni and multi, and then there's a handful of other multi-topology IDs that you can use for other topologies that you create. So in this example, we basically have a base topology. So all of the blue links are your INET 0. This is all of your routers that share this routing information. If you say, for example, we wanted to add a multicast domain to the network, and these orange boxes are, maybe a multicast sender, multicast receiver. The multicast traffic, if we find a brand new topology just for multicast traffic, we can limit it to the specific links, and so only these routers and only those links on those routers would then carry the multicast traffic. So it's a way of, kind of controlling. Maybe some of your routers don't really support PIM, or you don't actually want to, have all the PIM state on your routers, or, whatever the situation is. If you just want to contain some of that traffic, here's one way to do it. For the voice topology, if you imagine this as a ladder topology, and maybe those cross, those rungs on the ladder are maybe cross-country links, high latency links. So you want to keep the voice traffic off of those particular rungs of the ladder. It's pretty easy to do this also with MTR. This was an interesting use case. One of the carriers in the U.S. they use these high-end, I guess it's basically like a MPEG splicer, where it's taking multiple multicast groups, and so it's really the same exact information, the same channel, but it's being sent twice. So in the event that one of the MPEG streams starts to have problems like losing iframes or losing any type of data, you want to be able to easily be able to switch over to the same exact content but a different multicast stream, different multicast group. But they also wanted to make sure that they didn't have to deal with rerouting in the network. So one of the ways to achieve that is make sure that one of your streams rides on one part of the network, make sure the other stream rides on the other part of the network, and then you can just have the intelligence in the head end unit kind of, you know, splice those streams or provide the integrity checking. So at a very high level, the constructs, what you need to do to enable MTR is you create a topology. So any arbitrary name, topology names are box specific. They're not transferred. You're not advertising information about